It's the Best in Class podcast with JoeBucksFan.com, draft guru Sean Sullivan. Today, it's edge rushers, the always popular edge rushers episode. Sean's breaking them down, sharing some stories from the combine, and looking at who the Bucks actually interviewed in a formal interview, so you understand who those players are and how they might fit in. Enjoy.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. This is the edge breakdown. This is the Olympus of the draft. This is everything that a Buccaneers fan, NFL fan loves, rushing the quarterback, edge rushers, who's the top guys. You're going to get a full breakdown on this podcast. Very excited. I got some fresh stuff from the combine, from talking to several amazing pundits. I'm going to leave that for later, but I'm going to give you everything you need to know about the 2025 NFL draft, who the Bucks interviewed, who their formal interviews were, as well as who the top rushers in the entire NFL are going to be. And then we're going to go over where pundits have them drafted. Like, not a mock draft, but I want you to understand that some of the feedback that I've gotten is, Sean, can you tell us where these players are probably going to fall? Are they first-round picks, second-round picks, third-round picks, fourth-round picks, etc.? I'm going to do that for you now with my NFL Combine breakdown of the players by position. I'm going to give you an idea of where these players are going to go. So in your head, if you just want to have first-round edgers in your head, you can have first-round edgers in your head. First, let's hear from our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, family-owned and operated since 1960, serving the Tampa Bay community. We're on our third generation of a family business, taking on the evil corporations, because that's how I feel every day, is we like defend the line of family-owned businesses against corporations. And like, I feel like because we're one of the last family-owned stores for Ford, like in the area, and then the fact that we're owned by a third generation of family who is now Jennifer Bellamo Curry, she is now running the operation. If you think about it, it really is what makes Tampa great, is the fact that the people that were born here, that are still here, we really do try to make Tampa great for everyone who moves here and is enjoying our area. So I was born and raised in Tampa. Jennifer was born and raised in Tampa, obviously the Curry family, and then it means a lot. And that's why when I was talking to Jason Light coming back from the combine, one of the things we talked about was my passion for loving Tampa sports. And it's not just about being a sports fan, it's about loving my town and my city. And that's why I take this super personal, and I do it at the same job that I do as general manager of Bill Curry Ford. It's the same job that I do on the podcast. I take this stuff very seriously. I put the work in, and I'm gracious that the Curry family allows me to do both, and they're very flexible with my podcast and allowing me to do it. And we've had a lot of success with Bill Curry Ford, and I'm very, very happy to have that. This month, we have up to $20,000 off left on several 2024 vehicles in stock, and you can visit us at BillCurryFord.com and see that. You can call or go online, or on your phone, you can go on the website, and you can schedule your pickup and delivery or mobile service for free, right on the website. We come out to your house, we can fix a recall, we can change a tire, we can do quick service, and try to make it as convenient as possible. We are working on, later this year, opening up the Ford Pro Elite, which will be a super, basically it's a service department on steroids for those who aren't in the car business. So basically we're going to work on trucks that are larger than a normal truck, like a 150 or a 250, where you do mild construction. We're going to be working on trucks up to 650s, 750s, 900s, and keeping the Publix trucks and the big Tico trucks and our first responders, keeping them on the road so they can serve Tampa just as we do. So follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, etc., at all the social media sites. Email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com if you have any questions about draft, anything you want me to talk about. If you have car questions, listen, I don't care if it has to do with Bill Curry Ford or Ford. Listen, I am devoted to the people who listen to my podcast. If you have a question about a non-Ford vehicle or how to purchase a car or is this a good trade amount for my vehicle, engage me in conversation. I will help you. I've been doing this 35 years. Right? There's not much I don't know about the car business. I like to think I know more about football than everyone, but that's probably not the case, but I can keep on dreaming. All right, let's get to our edge class. I'm very excited. I got to see them at the combine. I got to interview several of them, and I love the personalities of the edge rushers. It's very diva-like. It's like they're like the wide receiver, the prima donna wide receivers of the defensive side of the football. I just love their confidence. I love their swag. I love their attitude. And I think that projects, you know, onto the field. I think you have to have that because, you know, let's say you take 60 snaps a game. You're looking just to influence 1 to 2 snaps, right, as a sack. You're trying to get 1 sack a game, which would make you elite, right? Even, you know, that's really what it is. You know, if you got 1 sack a game from the edge, you are a elite edge rusher. So if you're getting 4 or 5 pressures a game, you're getting 1 or 2 tackles for loss, yes, that's all great stuff. But we're talking about the guys that get to the quarterback. That's what we're discussing. And we're going to start with Abdul Carter, who is considered a top 3 to 4 pick in the draft out of Penn State. Again, Micah, this is a big guy from Micah Parsons who has talked about Abdul Carter. According to these statistics, he was 6'3". 250 pounds. He ran a 4.48 40. He's number one at his position, obviously. When you look at him, he looks a little smaller than you expect, like a little thinner. And when you're looking at him, you're like, okay, this guy can put on some weight. You know, this guy looks like he's not even done developing. So that's a good thing for NFL teams to be looking at. So he has 12 sacks over his career, 2 forced fumbles, 68 tackles, 43 solo tackles. Let's talk about a couple of things that he does extremely well. So he has a freakish first step. He's explosive on tape. He constantly beats tackles. So it's very funny how they come from the same school, but the Micah Parsons comparisons, I don't think they're comparable like player for player, but the way they both beat blocks on tape, it's very difficult to block Micah Parsons, and it's very difficult to block Abdul Carter. He displays exceptional bend and flex, which is, of course, the number one thing for edge rushers. You've got to be able to bend and be flexible. He maintains speed while running impossible tight angles. He's very violent, which if you listen to my podcast, since I've had it, I enjoy physical, violent players. I think they're entertaining. I think they bring an element of excitement to the game. And I love the momentum swing of a violent tackle. Like, it just fires you up as a fan. He has forced multiple fumbles with these hits. Background as an off-the-ball linebacker shows up in his spatial awareness and his ability to sniff out screens and outside runs. So I think a lot of his tackling ability, outside runs, the way he processes, because he processes from an off-the-ball linebacker, but now that he's an edge, he's using that to his advantage. He's absolutely terrific in pursuit. Runs down plays from behind consistently, has a motor that doesn't give up. This guy does not take plays off. This guy is the real deal, right? In the right defense. So right now, his average draft mock position is number 2 to Cleveland Browns. So right now, he's being mocked across the country, and these are thousands and thousands and thousands of mocks. So basically, the average draft mock position is just basically summing up all of the mock drafts. Where is this guy normally taken in this number 2 to Cleveland? Doesn't mean he's going there. It just means I want to give you an idea that this is a top 5 player. He made the Bruce Feldman freak list. Now, we're going to talk about on the edges. It's really strange when you look at his freak list for edge rushers this year. Take away the edge rush. He had 10 edge rushers in his top 52. I mean, as far as freakish athletes, this is a very top-heavy edge draft. So let's hear what Bruce Feldman has to say. He said Carter was a Penn State's first unanimous consensus All-American since Saquon Barkley. That's really cool. He led the nation with 23.5 tackles for loss and 12 sacks, leading Penn State to college football playoff semifinals. At last season, at 6'3", 250 pounds, he clocked a 4.48 40 along with a 4.35 shuttle to go with an equally impressive 10.7 broad jump. He vertically jumped 33.5 inches. It's extremely impressive, and it just shows, you know, what kind of freak athlete he is. Obviously, the Bucs didn't interview him. They're expecting him to be one of the top players off the draft. I've seen him as high as 1. If the Titans want to go defense, if they don't trade down and they don't want to go quarterback, this is not what I'm saying is going to happen. I'm just saying I've seen him as high as 1, but his average draft position, you know, again, is 2. I personally think the quarterbacks will always go first, unless you just have a draft without a quarterback. And this draft has at least 2 to 3 guys that I think are going to make an impact, and we'll go over that on the best-in-class quarterback breakdown. My next guy, to me, is incredible. Like, I am frustrated because he did an interview well, and that's James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. 6'5", 250 pounds. He ran a 4.47. That's correct. At 6'5", 250 pounds, he ran a 4.47. That is unbelievably crazy, right? To think about, he's doing wide receiver speed in a body that's this gigantic. He had 7.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 38 tackles, and 23 solo tackles. This guy is constantly double and triple teamed. The entire defensive plan is to stop James Pierce Jr. So, and I'm going to get to the interviewing and probably why the Bucs have not done a formal interview, and the fact that he might not even be on Jason Light's list. They might have removed him from the draft list. I hope that's not true, but I'm getting to understand Jason Light more, and the more I understand him, the more he likes the talent of the player, but he also likes to know that they're in a good headspace and they're solidly entrenched personal life so they can focus on football. And I think that that's been a focus of Jason Light. So let's talk about what James Pierce Jr. does. Now, last year, he was considered to be the number one overall pick. This past year, he stayed in school, got paid to stay in school, of course, and he was not as effective. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you have to take into account, these guys know they're going into the draft. They know they're going in the first round, and a lot of them protect their bodies. You know, that's why you see, and statistically, for all the best-in-class listeners, what you'll see statistically is the sophomore season is usually their best statistical season. And I can break that down for you over player after player after player. When they leave as a junior, you'll notice that they don't do as well as juniors. And I think some of that has to do with is protecting themselves against injury, and also, you know, the team's, you know, game planning against that particular player. He displays an elite first-step explosion off the edge that forces tackles to bail out of their stance. When I say this, if you guys watch his highlights, when he hits the offensive tackle, they go backwards. They don't go forwards. He hits them so hard that they're like fumbling around, like trying to regain their stance. It's really, really crazy the way he hits. He possesses remarkable bend and ankle flex when turning the corner. Again, super important. He consistently gets hip to hip with tackles before reducing his surface area to flatten the QB. This is a guy that doesn't miss QBs. He demonstrates advanced hands usage for his experience level, particularly with his signature rip move that pairs perfectly with his bull and speed rush. He shows natural instincts as a pass rusher, setting up tackles with subtle stance variations and timing jumps, and he creates pre-snap advantages. This gentleman is a player. He is unbelievably good. He is on the freak list at number 14 for 2025. Now, that's amongst all players, not just edges. All players in the entire NFL draft, he's ranked number 14 as 6'5", 250 pounds. He wowed folks at the Citrus Bowl. Now, I'm talking about what Bruce Feldman said. When he clocked 23 miles per hour on a pick six against Iowa, that is correct. He hit 23 miles per hour as a 6'5", 250-pound end. Pierce is a legit 4.4 caliber talent. He has been a bit of polarizing prospect, but he should impress in the testing part of the draft. Average draft position, guess what, Bucks fans? Number 19. That is the average draft position for James Pierce Jr. He did not interview with the Bucks, and coming away from the combine, he didn't interview well with teams. Now, they don't go into detail about why he did an interview. I'm going to take a guess since I obviously saw him there and heard him speak and heard him talk about things. I think that there's a maturity level that certain general managers are looking for in players. And we have to remember, these are children. You know, like, I'm in my 50s, okay? So I look at these guys, 19, 20, 21. These are children. And when I'm looking at them, I'm just looking at the freakish, you know, player on the field. And I know that Jason Light and the other general managers have a responsibility to pick, you know, good locker room guys, good leaders, good people that can develop into mature, you know, adulthood. But I also think it gets lost that these are children. Some of them just need a good role model. Some of them need to be put in the right position to be led by experienced people. For me, I would weigh that. I wouldn't just write James Pierce Jr. off. Now, if he has ties to bad people outside of football, and I've heard of this several times with players that have, you know, people they grew up with and things like that, that would be a problem for an NFL franchise. I didn't hear any of that on James Pierce Jr. But what I can tell you is I met several of his teammates. As a matter of fact, I ate lunch on my last day at the Combine with Elijah Simmons, who was a defensive tackle out of Tennessee, went to school with James. And I really got some amazing, you know, comment on them. But what I did find out is a lot of them, you know, are just trying to find their way. This is a really amazing experience for them. They're not used to talking in front of people. Depending on who your agent is, you're not going to be as polished as Shedeur Sanders, you know, or Travis Hunter. You're not going to be, you know, constantly in front of press for the last decade like some of these players, you know, because of who their family is or what school they went to. Some of these gentlemen are exposed to this for the first time. And Elijah's one of those guys, and I really liked him, really, really strong heart, really good man. He was concerned about, you know, how he came off in his interviews, and he wanted to come off as a good man, you know, that was going to grow in an NFL team, and I liked that about him. And by the way, he's 346 pounds, he's 19 years old. So, I mean, they're children. I hope that James Pierce Jr. wasn't taken off of Jason Light's list. I hope that we're going to give him, you know, at least a thought at this position, because I think that he's a day one starter. And now that we signed Hassan Reddick, think about this. If you have Yaya Diaby, Hassan Reddick, you're going to have Dennis, and you're going to have Levante David. Right now, if you add James Pierce to the mix, you know, it gives him pass rushing snaps. Yaya can play on running downs, continue to do that. But James Pierce Jr., I think, we only signed Reddick to a one-year deal. This is a guy that could step in and get that sack production. I think, and I just love the guy. There's not much else I can say. I think he's going to be a terrific NFL pro. I can't speak to how he interviewed. I didn't get a chance to interview him myself. I interviewed a lot of players. This wasn't one that I was able to get on the list for. But I can tell you, his play on the field is incredible. Moving on to the third guy, and the reason why this is really interesting, and we're going to talk about, but this is Mikel Williams out of Georgia. 6'5", 260 pounds, ran a 4.65, 5 sacks, 2 fumbles, 21 tackles, 15 solo tackles. Now, he got hurt in the third game of the season. So I ran into Brian Baldinger at the Combine. Steve Itzbitz was talking to Brian, and I kind of walked up and got into the conversation, and then Steve walked off, and then I was like, okay, I'm left alone, you know, with Brian Baldinger. I'm going to go, okay, let me get some questions out on my edge rushers. As you know, Brian Baldinger worked with Kansas last year on the beach going over some pass rush moves. So Brian Baldinger is an expert in edge and pass rush. I asked him who his favorite edge rusher in this year's draft class, and he said Mikel Williams out of Georgia. And I said, wow, that's surprising. Just because, you know, he got hurt early. There's not a lot of stuff to watch. And he was like, I'm going to tell you the game to watch, and that's the Texas game. He goes, once you watch him play at that Texas game, you'll have a different opinion of him. And that's why he's sitting number 3 on my board. I watched the games that Greg Cosell asked. He was dominant when he was healthy. And at that size, at 6'5", 260, so he's a little bit heavier, a little bit bigger guy, still ran a 4.65. So let's talk about it. He showcases rare power at the point of attack. He consistently controls blocks with violent hands, my favorite thing to say, creating separation that allows him to track ball carries effectively. He has a lot of versatility in what he can play. He can play in 4-3 and a 3-4 defense, which is very attractive to many teams. Natural leverage player who excels at setting the strong edge. He demonstrates advanced recognition skills in the run game. Extremely good against the run. But he has a nasty, you know, I underlined the word nasty bull rush. When he hits those offensive linemen, they fold like cards. And I saw that. These guys at Texas, these are real dudes. These are NFL guys. And he made them look like small town, you know, junior college offensive tackles and guards. They stood no chance against him. And was like, wow, that's pretty great. On the freak list, he was number 28. And then he went back and he was ready to roll at midseason when Georgia went into Texas. So basically Bruce Feldman's talking about that Texas game again, the same one that Brian Baldinger was discussing, that Williams had two sacks, a forced fumble in that victory. Later in the season, they faced them again, this time in the SEC title game. Not only did he have two more sacks, he had five more QB hurries. We're talking about in two games against Texas, which is basically as NFL talent, he had five sacks and 8.5 tackles for loss. So he has 34 and a plus inch arms. Obviously he ran in the 4.6s, and at that size, they have him at 265. Bruce Feldman does at 265. But here's a guy that I think is going to surprise a lot of people. I believe that he's healthy. His average draft position in the NFL, even with his injuries, is number 10. They're basically saying he's a top 10 talent. So I find that to be really interesting about him. So really, he doesn't have a lot to watch. But what you do watch, it is freakish. He does look like he's going to be a top 10 pick. And I think that's pretty amazing. He's a physical specimen, too. I mean, he looks like he's ready-made. Like he's not. He doesn't have to put on weight. He doesn't have to do anything in the NFL gym. He looks like he's the man. Like he looks like he was molded to play defensive end, outside linebacker in the NFL. It's pretty crazy. At number four, Mike Green. I think everybody by this time has heard of Mike Green. He's 6'3", 250. He ran a 4.5, 7.40. Had 17.5 sacks. Last year, 3/4 fumbles, 81 tackles, 38 solo tackles. This guy blew up the Senior Bowl. This guy was a projected second-round draft pick, blew up the Senior Bowl, practiced at an elite level, destroyed all of these tackles that everybody said are going to be first-round tackles in the NFL, and he has moved up the board, unbelievably moved up the board. This is a guy that when I watch on film has three, and I mean three, solid pass rushing moves. It's unbelievable how polished he is as a pass rusher. Not a run stopper. We're not going to go and say he's a great run stopper. I'm talking about as a pure pass rusher, he has three polished moves going into the NFL. That means he's going to be a five-tool player. That means that Mike Green's going to be a guy that's a double-digit sacker in the NFL. Write it down. He's going to be that. That's what it's going to be. His explosive first step, he has bend. Von Miller is his NFL comparison. Again, he has the advanced pass rush repertoire, which I was saying. He has a cross chop move, fluid spin, and of course, he has a bull rush that is super violent. He understands leverage, and you can see that on tape. And then he, of course, the relentless motor. He doesn't take any plays off. He's just always going. He's like an Energizer bunny. He's running down plays from behind. He's knocking people on their butt going while he's going east to west across the field. He's just a fun guy to watch. And the really fun thing about this is on the freak list, I'm going to read you what Bruce Feldman said, is that his explosive gaze opponents at the Senior Bowl fits, but it was his bull rush on one-on-one against Oregon's 313-pound Josh Cornelly that had coaches talking. Green, who last offseason ran a 4.5, 7.40, led the nation with 17.5 sacks. That's from the freak list. His average draft position in the NFL this year on mock is number 14. So he won't make it to the Bucs. That's what it looks like, that he's going to go somewhere in that 10 to 14 range. And guess who interviewed him? As I said before, the Buccaneers did a formal sit-down interview with Mike Green, which makes me so happy, by the way, that they're interviewing. And we're going to talk about more guys that they've interviewed moving forward. This guy has it all. Other than the run stop, I mean, the one thing that I think Todd Bowles on Mike Green is going to be like, okay, he's got some work to do on stopping the run, which is fine. Because he's basically so fast off the ball getting to the quarterback that he basically overruns like a draw play or screen, which makes a lot of sense. He's a pass rusher. Moving on to number five. Bear with me. This is a guy that a lot of guys don't have this high. And I'm telling you, there's something special about this kid. And I've been working on pronouncing his name correctly. So if you please don't send me any emails at bestinclass@billcurryford.com and tell me that I don't know how to pronounce his name. I've been working on it. So it's Donovan Ezekiruku out of Boston College. Now, I've heard it that way, which is the way that Google pronounces it. And Ezekiruku is how the Boston College announcers announce him during the games. So we're going to call him Donovan for the rest of this podcast. So he is a 6'2", 250-pound edge out of Boston College. He ran a 4.62 40, 16.5 sacks. This guy gets to the quarterback. He forced 3 fumbles, had 80 tackles, and 37 solo tackles. He is a finished pass-rushing prospect, just like Mike Green. Masterful technician. He strings together pass-rush moves with timing and grace. He's consistently forcing tackles to guess wrong on his attack angles. So he basically is a terrific tackler. He squares up to his targets. He has great bend, ankle flex, which is, of course, two things that these scouts look at. He gets to run impossible corners, and then he can maintain his speed through the entire pass rush, which, again, is an art. His explosive first step paired with quick diagnostic skills let him shoot gaps and disrupt plays before they develop. It's especially evident against zone runs. Now, the reason why he's my number 5 edge rusher, one, he is perfect for a 3-4 outside linebacker. I mean, that's what this guy was built for this position. The Bucks gave him a formal interview, which makes me very excited. But this guy has the production in college that I like. Lee DeKemper and I talk about this a lot, and I said if I'm a scout in the NFL, production at the college level means something to me. It just does. If you can't produce in college, it's very hard for me to believe that you're going to somehow translate your physical gifts to produce in the NFL. Not to say that it doesn't happen. There's no absolutes in this. This is not a science. This is more of a learned game that you can learn tendencies on these players and try to guess correctly. That's why there's a 50% hit rate on first-round draft picks. But I can tell you there's something special about this kid and the way he rushes the passer. He can also play the run, and I think that this would be one of Todd Bowles' guys. And the fact that his average draft position is 32 to top of the second round, he's moving up the draft board. So the Bucks could trade down from 19 and possibly get him if they want to get out of that position and pick up another pick, or they might take him at 19. That's how fast he's moving up the board. If they're going to like this, I think Jason Light's going to like Donovan better than he likes James Pierce Jr. just because of the interview process. This is a solid kid on and off the field, plays the run. He was designed for what Todd Bowles' defense is, that 3-4 pass rushing outside linebacker. The cool thing is he's already got the pass rushing moves. To Lee DeKemper's point, we don't have to develop him as a pass rusher. No one has to sit there and teach him how to be a pass rusher. He had 16.5 sacks for Boston College. He's the real deal, all right? So keep an eye on Donovan. Ezekiel Ruku, all right? So that's my best shot, guys. Number 6 is Shamar Stewart. And everyone's going to go, well, Sean, all these people have him so much higher. Okay, well, they can have him higher. I'm not giving some guy higher with 1 sack as a college football player. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. Shamar Stewart is 6'5", 260 pounds. He ran a 4.59. He is an athletic freak. There is no doubt that he is one of these combine draft wonders. There's been a million of them. These guys go into the combine. They put on a show. They go, this guy athletically is one of the greatest ever at his position. The guy can do all the stuff. Where was it in college? Where was it? Like, you're not getting good coaching at Texas A&M? Are you kidding? You have NFL coaches at Texas A&M. You have guys playing on your team that are going to play in the NFL too. I mean, it's not like you're a lone show, right? It's not like you're a solo act, right? You had 1.5 sacks. You had 1 forced fumble, 31 tackles, and 14 solo tackles. Again, he's on the freak list. Freakish athlete testing at the combine. 4.59 at 265 pounds with a 1.8-yard split. 40-inch vertical. That's insane. And a 10 and 11 broad jump, again, is insane. So there's one player that's had very similar athletic testing. That's Myles Garrett. Now, Myles Garrett, as you know, is a sure Hall of Famer for the Cleveland Browns, and he's had a tremendous NFL career. But he also did it in college. I understand that this guy might be terrific. I have a little thing. I ran into Greg Cosell at the NFL Combine. One of the things that Greg Cosell has said about Shamar Stewart is that he does not know how to rush the passer. Like, he has no clue. Like, he's not trained. He has no pass rushing moves. He's just basically a raw piece of clay that an NFL team can take and mold him into a player. Now, Owe, was a defensive end out of Penn State that was taken by the Baltimore Ravens a couple of years ago. He had zero sacks in college, and I think he had 9 sacks last year. So there's an athletic guy that's really coming along and doing a better job. He possesses rare bend and flex for a 267-pound guy. He has the ability to drop his shoulder and flatten to the quarterback at all angles. He converts speed to power with jarring effectiveness. He walks back tackles with his strength. He displays shocking lateral agility when doing stunts and twists. Again, my problem with him is, where was it? He was a 5-star recruit. He's only managed 4 sacks in 37 games. That's the problem. Senior Bowl week, he showed some refinement on his pass rushing game, which, again, it's a little too late in my opinion. He's, you know, whatever NFL team drafts him, he's going to have to really work on him. He had 5.5 tackles for a loss, so expect him, you know, for a lot of guys to move him up the board because of his freak list. He's number 2 on the freak list, and the fact that he blew up the combine. He was a Bucks formal interview, and his average draft position is number 11. So let's just say some teams feel like I do, and they don't take him at that average 11 spot, and he falls to the Bucks at 19. I mean, they did a formal interview with him. I think they wanted to know who he was, and I think that maybe on Jason Light's radar that this guy might be available at 19. They just want to do their due diligence and homework, which I totally understand. Moving on to number 7 is Landon Jackson out of Arkansas, 6'6", 264 pounds. He's one of the bigger edge rushers. Ran a 4.68, had 6.5 sacks, one fumble, 49 tackles, and 28 solo tackles. He has devastating length and power at the point of attack, consistently drives back tight ends, and creates immediate displacement against the run. Very physical, violent player, uses his length really good. He shows advanced hand techniques in pass rush. He also has a nasty cross-trop move, and he knows how to set up his counters. So this is a guy that I think is ready for the NFL. I think he's a starter in the NFL. He projects as a starting base end in a even front or a strong side defensive end in a 3-4. So when basically what they're saying is he fits that outside 3-4 player, and he's very similar in size to Nelson, who was already on the Bucks roster, but this guy has a lot better pass rushing skills. His combination of size and power and technical refinement give him an extremely high floor as a run defender from day one. So again, he's going to be on Bowles' list of, hey, I want an outside linebacker who can rush the passer, but he has to be able to stop the run and play it effectively. This is a guy that can do that. He had 23 tackles for loss and 12 sacks in 2 seasons. He's been as heavy as 280 pounds, which is really interesting. They had him listed at 264. I'm sure that's because he wanted to run the 40. But, you know, his playing weight's probably more around 270. And freak list, he was number 26. And then Landon Jackson's average draft positions at the end of the first round, number 32, so top of the second into the first round. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is we're going to get into some guys that the Bucks formally interviewed at the Combine that are edge rushers, starting with Princely Umanmielen out of Ole Miss. He's 6'4", 244 pounds, 4.72 40, not as fast as the other guys. 10.5 sacks, great production, forced a fumble, 37 tackles, 19 solo tackles. Electric burst paired with natural bend allows him to threaten the edge immediately, forcing tackles to bail out of their stance. Nasty inside counter spin move that he is perfectly timing when tackles are overset. He repeatedly did it against the Georgia and Arkansas games. Length and play strength translate to effective long arm technique. He shows impressive spatial awareness as a pass rusher. He has terrific change of direction, pops on tape, especially when one is stops. Now, again, I do like this guy a lot. I watched a lot of his tape after I saw the Bucks interviewed him. His average draft position is 60, so that's second round. So this was, if the Bucks go corner in the first round, or let's just say they go off-ball linebacker, they go Campbell, or they go Porter or Kobe Bryant in the first round, you know, they come back in the second round. You know, this guy Princely should, you know, it's a possible second round edge rush that I think gives us a lot of punch. And I think that he's made for the 3-4 outside linebacker spot. He plays with a lot of fire, which I really like a lot. And again, formal interview. Another formal interview with Savion Jones out of LSU, 6'5", 280 pounds, very big edge rusher. He ran a 4.72 40. He had 4.5 sacks, 2 fumbles, 40 tackles, 19 solo tackles, good initial burst off the snap, okay strength. I think he obviously needs to bulk up. He showed improvement using his length to create separation. He had adequate power at the point of attack. So this is a guy that I think is a developmental guy at 6'5". I don't think he's ready to start in the NFL. His average draft position is 102, which is third round. And again, he had a formal interview with the Bucs. So to me, this gentleman fits more into like a 4-3 defensive end prototype than he does an outside linebacker in the 3-4. But that's just my opinion. But they might like his size, and he's going to be able to set the edge with a very physical presence. We'll see how that goes, but he's got a lot of work to do. The next guy is David Walker out of Central Arkansas, 6'1", 260, 4'6", 940, 10.5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 68 tackles, and out of those 68, 45 were solo, which is terrific. So he's a freak at number 76 on Bruce Feldman's freak list. He had 66 tackles, 21 tackles for loss, and 12 sacks in 2022. Again, his sophomore season, surprise. The 6'2", 260-pound Atlantic Sun Conference Defensive Player of the Year runs the 40 in 4.65 seconds. He had a vertical of 36 inches and power cleaned 374 pounds. He also squatted, get this, 615 pounds, and he benched 225 pounds, which is the standard weight for the bench press, which I got to see while I was at the combine, 24 times. This guy, man, this guy physically, I mean, he reminds me of Shaq Barrett. I have no idea if this guy's going to have a similar career. What I'm saying is just the size and strength. Shaq Barrett is a super strong guy before his injury. He possesses ferocious hand usage with development toolbox, including a two-handed swipes, rips, and swim moves that create separation. He has terrific leverage. He's very explosive. He runs angry in pursuit. He never stops. Again, I underline that. Never quits, never stops, never takes plays off. This, to me, moves him up my board. He converts speed to power effectively, drives tackles backwards. Because of his size, right, his average draft position is 132, which is fourth round, and he was a former Bucs interview. But, I mean, if we're just going to draft an edge later in the draft, you know, to back up, Hassan Reddick or Yaya Diaby, and now you have Chris Braswell that's also going to be in that rotation. And by the way, everyone says, oh, well, let's just wait to see Chris Braswell. Chris Braswell is just going to come and rush the passer. That's the biggest difference that is between last year and this year, is you took a guy, you know, basically that Nick Saban said never backpedaled, never covered anybody out of the backfield. All we wanted him to do was rush the passer. We brought him into the NFL and said, okay, now you're going to be a coverage outside linebacker, and he had to learn an entire new position. And then we're asking him why he didn't pass rush. So my point is, if they're just going to allow him to pass rush, you're going to see a different Chris Braswell this year just based on the position. I consider it a position change. Other people are not. You have a new defensive coach, you know, that's basically saying we're going to have people just rush the passer this year. That's going to be awesome. That's why I think they're going to have to get a solid corner and possibly another slot corner and some linebackers to really play the kind of four-man front that Todd Bowles wants, where he's saying, I want four guys to rush the passer, and that's how I want to run my defense, which I'm all for. But you got to improve the back end, which is why I think that might happen. But again, Bucs interview, possible fourth-round guy. Now, Olu Oladejo out of UCLA, 6'3", 259 pounds, ran a 4.7 40, had 4.5 sacks, no forced fumbles, 57 tackles, 30 of the 57 were solo. He shares rare cornering ability for a converted linebacker, displaying the ankle flex and hip mobility to flatten the QB on sharp angles. He brings linebacker-trained vision to the edge position, diagnoses run schemes and flow patterns with veteran savvy. Here's a guy that Todd Bowles is going to love because he played off-the-ball linebacker. He can cover. He also switched to rushing the passer, but it also, because he played off-the-ball linebacker, allowed him his processing to learn how to recognize and process what's going on faster than a normal edge. I think that's an advantage, and I think he brings that advantage to the tape because you can see it. He unleashes violence. I love it. He plays with a huge motor. Another guy that I think I find it funny how the Bucs interviewed all these guys that don't take plays off. They're just heat-seeking missiles. They just explode off the tape. You can see them. They're constantly moving. They're constantly trying to make a tackle. And I love the fact that's what they're looking for. So the Bucs interviewed him. His average draft position, this guy is 88, which is second round. There's a possibility that someone's going to play him off the ball and as outside, where he has a lot of flexibility in what he can do. And I think Todd Bowles loves his linebackers and edges Well, they're all linebackers, but his off-the-ball linebacker could also rush the passer. I think he loves that versatility. I think Oladejo brings that kind of versatility to it. I also like his height a lot, long arms. I mean, he basically can get into throwing lanes as well. And if he gets locked up on a tackle, he's going to have to get off that. But his burst, his vision, his bend, you know, this guy's a pretty good player. And he's got like a Swiss Army knife of talent. So this concludes the Edge breakdown for Best in Class. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please send me emails at bestinclass@billcurry4.com with any questions or comments about the breakdown or any players that you would like me to specifically talk about on the pod. Make sure you review me at Podbeam, Apple Play. Please send me reviews. I need those. Builds credibility. Put a lot of work and hard work into this best 30 minutes of football for you guys. Again, please visit us at BillCurry4.com. See all of our amazing specials and follow us at BillCurry4 Tampa, etc. Social media sites. I look forward to getting with you guys next time. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.